Good evening, everyone. We'll make a start to our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 219 in your hymn book. The hymn number 219, 219, you'll find it on the page 265. It's a great old gospel hymn. It says, a ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain, ye must be born again. The hymn number 219 on the page 265, standing as we sing, and let us really sing it out with all of our hearts. Let's stand as we sing.
Our ruler once came to Jesus by night.
Just look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Glad to have the Reverend Power with us tonight. Ask our brother to come to the pulpit and just lead us in prayer, please. Thank you.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our God and our Heavenly Father, Lord, we still our hearts before Thee in prayer in our Saviour's gracious name. O God, we do thank Thee and praise Thee. Lord, as we come to Thee in prayer, we give thanks for the gospel, that glad tidings and good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We thank Thee, our Heavenly Father, for the finished work. We praise Thee, O God, for that great salvation that has been purchased for us by the blood of Christ. And we thank Thee, Lord, for the free offer of the gospel. that it is indeed without money and without price. O our Heavenly Father, we look up to thee in prayer. Lord, we thank thee that thou art the living and the true God. We praise thee, Heavenly Father, Lord, for our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is at thy right hand, and whoever lives to make intercession for us. We would ask our Father, Lord, tonight for thy blessing, Lord, here upon our gathering and upon our meeting. Grant, Lord, that we would be conscious, each and every one of us, that the Lord is here in our midst, that God is in the meeting tonight. Lord, we do pray and ask our Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would draw near to us. Lord, we would ask of thee, Lord, to come down into our service tonight. Come down into our very midst, we ask of thee. Bless thy servant, our Heavenly Father, Lord, as he preaches the word of God to us tonight. We pray, Lord, that thy word would have free course. We ask our Heavenly Father, Lord, in prayer, O God, if thou would touch him, grant thy anointing, Lord, to rest upon him. Grant to him that unction from heaven, we do pray. May the word of the Lord have free course indeed. Bind the strong man, the enemy. Lord, we realize that there is a devil that is set against us and is set against the message of the gospel. And our Heavenly Father, we would ask of thee, Lord, bind the strong man. Bless, Lord, the one that would minister to us in song, Lord, tonight as well, and undertake, Lord, for him. We praise thee, our Heavenly Father, for this time of gospel mission. And we would, Lord, remember, think of all the invitations that have gone out. And we do pray, Lord, as we're bowed before thee, that hearts may be stirred, that souls would be brought in under the preaching of thy word. Lord, bring thy word to remembrance. We ask our Heavenly Father, Lord, for this district, here around the church, Lord, and the invitations that have gone into all of these homes, so close at hand. And Lord, we pray a stirring. We pray for a conviction. We pray, Lord, for an awakening. O God, move by thy Holy Spirit, Lord, we ask of thee. And grant, Lord, the salvation of precious souls. Move, Lord, in our midst. We thank thee, Lord, thou hast not changed. We praise thee, Heavenly Father, for the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. We thank thee, Lord, for the good news indeed of the gospel. The gospel, this message is still the same. Our Savior is still the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Undertake for us, we ask tonight. May thy name be glorified. May thy name be uplifted, magnified here among us. And help us, Lord, to praise thee with cheerful hearts and to worship thee in spirit and in truth. May our hearts, Lord, we who are saved tonight, may our hearts be moved and stirred and blessed. May we go from the meeting, Lord, rejoicing, delighting in the Lord, what he has done for us. Save a soul, Lord, tonight, we do ask. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that someone in this meeting tonight will hear the word, and that their hearts might be stirred, and that they will look to Christ, who is able to save them. We thank thee, Lord, there is life indeed for a look at the crucified one. Bless the one that will lead the service as well. And may everything be done for your glory and honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We thank your brother for leading us in prayer. We give a very special welcome tonight to our guest, a soloist, a good brother in Christ, Mr. Gordon Quinn. Nice to have our brother with us. Welcome his wife, Myrtle, as well, to a new fellowship with them in the gospel. We're going to ask our brother now to come and bring his first messages and song. Thank you.
Thank you. This life is a journey in search of a land. Pathways so often is not as we plan. But with Jesus beside us, we surely can stand. So just look for the touch of the Master's strong hand. I feel the touch of the Master's strong hand, leading me on through this wearisome land. My footsteps would falter as I travel this land, except for the touch of the Master's strong hand. When you've searched for life's answers but can't comprehend why those everyday burdens seem to come without end, your life, it is empty, you hopelessly stand. Just look for the touch of the Master's strong hand. And I feel the touch of the Master's strong hand, leading me on through this wearisome land. My footsteps would falter as I travel this land, except for the touch of the Master's strong hand. I feel the touch of the Master's strong hand.
Amen. And friends, it's nice to see you again. And we're glad of another gospel mission. There seems to be quite a few missions on across the province at the minute. And thank the Lord for them. I wonder, have you ever known the touch of the Master's strong hand? I'm looking down there and I see Eileen. It was Eileen's father that lifted me in a car and brought me to a children's meeting where I first felt the touch of the Master's strong hand. We had no car. We were children. My mother was a widow for a lot of the time. And I'm sure Mr. Don piled us all into the car, brought us round to a wee gospel mission. To this day, I don't know where the man came from. I heard he came from England, but where he went after that, I never knew or anything more about him. But I went into a wee children's meeting, and for the first time, it struck me that it applied to me. I'd never thought of it like that before. And in that first meeting where it struck me that I needed to do something, I stayed behind. The only worry I had was that Mervyn Dunne would go home without me. But I thought it over and I said, I'm staying anyway. And so we did. And I felt, when I was walking out of that meeting, I felt that something had happened. It's a long time ago. I'm glad to say there's been many a time since when I've been in need of one kind or another. And you bring it to the Lord, maybe after a long, many a prayer, but there comes a time often when you just feel a sense, you feel a peace. God has answered and you have the touch of the Master's hand again.
So here we are tonight in the gospel meeting. I'm going to sing a little piece about reminding us again of what the Lord Jesus did for us on the cross. And you can trust him tonight and know his touch upon your life.
There's a story so unkind in the holy book we find. It tells how Jesus stood alone one day. False accused and then condemned, yet they found no fault in him. The man who wore the scarlet purple robe, the purple robe my Savior wore, oh, the shame for me he bore, as he stood alone, forsaken on that day. And as they placed upon his head a crown of thorns, the blood ran red. His raiment was a scarlet purple robe. The words of truth that day were plain from the lips of Pilate came. In this man I find no reason he should die. And yet the multitude all cried, let him now be crucified. The man who wore the scarlet purple robe, the purple robe my Savior wore, oh, the shame for me he bore, as he stood alone, forsaken on that day. And as they placed upon his head a crown of thorns, the blood ran red. Raymond was a scarlet purple robe. As they led him out to die, there beneath the eastern sky, forgive them, Father, was the word she said. And yet his death upon the tree purchased life for you and me. The man who wore the scarlet purple robe, the purple robe my Savior wore, oh, the shame for me bore, as he stood alone, forsaken on that day. And as they placed upon his head a crown of thorns, the blood ran red. His raiment was a scarlet purple robe, his raiment was a scarlet.
Thank you to our brother Gordon for that ministry and song, and may God bless those messages to every heart. And our prayer is tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, that you would indeed know the touch of the Master's hand, the touch of the Lord in your heart and life, even unto salvation. We thank our brother for coming, and he'll be coming a little later on again to sing for us. I want to welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's name. It's good to see all who've gathered with us this Tuesday evening. We bid you a very special and sincere word of welcome in the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're visiting with us, trust that you'll feel at home. I know the blessing of the Lord. If you're a believer in Christ, may you be drawn closer to the Lord through the preaching of the gospel. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, may you come and put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Welcome those also who may be listening in online. Thank you for joining with us, and we pray the Lord will bless you. Give a special welcome to our guest preacher tonight, the Reverend Morrow. We've been blessed through his ministry this week, and we pray God will bless him again tonight as he preaches the word of the Lord. We pray for the meetings and the mission as it continue throughout this week, each weeknight, 8 o'clock. If you come that wee bit earlier for time of prayer at 7:30, we'll be glad to see you. And then the final night of the mission on the Lord's Day evening, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. There'll be somebody along to sing or to testify each evening. Tomorrow night, in the will of the Lord, our brother Mr. John McNeil will be with us to give a word of testimony to tell of the Lord's saving grace and keeping power in his life. Pray for the meetings. Do all you can to attend them and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. The time goes in so quickly, and how we need to do all we can to encourage and invite and gather others in under the sound of God's precious and holy word. We're going to turn again in our hymn book to hymn number 91. The hymn number 91, it's another great gospel hymn. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. We'll stand as we sing hymn number 91 on the page 213 of your hymn book, and singing it out with all of our hearts. Stand as we sing. ask our Brother Gordon to come and bring his final message and song, and then immediately after that, the Reverend Morrow will bring God's Word. Thank you.
Many long years ago, from heaven there came a man, all our burdens to bear. With a heart full of love and compassion, he met me at an altar of prayer. At an altar of prayer, I met Jesus. With compassion, he welcomed me there. My burden so heavy was lifted at an altar of prayer. If your life is weighed down with problems and you're caught up in sin's wicked snare, you can still find forgiveness and mercy. Just meet him at an altar of prayer. At an altar of prayer, I met Jesus. With compassion, he welcomed me there. My burden so heavy was lifted when we met at an altar of prayer. My burden so heavy was lifted.
Thank our Brother Gordon very sincerely for those messages and song. And those who do testify and those who do sing the gospel bring a very vital message to the mission, and I believe that without those, the mission is indeed the poorer. We're going to bow together for prayer, and then we will turn to read God's Word. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again this evening that we're gathered together in thy house. We thank you for the privilege that is given to us to draw aside from the things of this day and to come and to sit in thy presence. We thank you again for the message and the hymns that we were singing together. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us night by night to tell the story of Jesus. We thank you for the messages and song and for your servant who brought them. Write them indelibly upon the tables of our heart. And as we come now to your precious word, we pray that you'll open these hearts of ours afresh and that you'll open these ears of ours that we might hear and that we might understand all that God the Lord would require of us.
Help us to rightly divide the Scriptures, to make much of the Saviour. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're reading some verses from the Old Testament tonight, and the book of Proverbs, and chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, and commencing our reading at the verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. But he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. The king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. Amen. God again will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. In the last two nights, we have tried to the best of our ability to put great emphasis upon all what God has done for us in the person of Jesus Christ. We did, of course, say that no matter how eloquent any individual may be or try to be, they can never fully express or explain all that was accomplished at Calvary and the awful price that Jesus paid for our redemption. Tonight, I want to turn your thoughts to a subject, conversion or condemnation. The decision is yours. And in light of what we've heard in the past two nights, I believe that decisions have to be called for. Proverbs, of course, they are ascribed to Solomon, who was the wisest man in the entire world. Chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel." And we read about a particular moment when God had a particular encounter with this man called Solomon. It's recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and the verses 7 and 8. "In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee." I wonder if God threw out that challenge to you tonight. What in particular would you ask? But when it was thrown out to Solomon, Solomon said unto God, "Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, hast made me to reign in his stead. Give me now wisdom, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this people that is so great?" God said to him, "Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have that had been before thee, nor will ever have those that come after thee." The Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 10 So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And it says all the earth sought after Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put into his heart. When we look at the history of Solomon, we find that he reigned for 40 years, and he reigned in righteousness. To do so, he put to death Adonijah, who had usurped the throne. He put to death Joab, who had dared to shed innocent blood. And he cast Abiathar out of the priesthood to keep it pure. He believed with all his heart that righteousness exalteth a nation. Now, when it comes to such an individual with such a particular standing with his God, what he has to say to you and to me tonight is of such importance that we need to give diligent heed to it. People traveled all across the world to meet this monarch, to see his wealth, to hear his wisdom. And when the Queen of Sheba came to visit him and heard his wisdom and saw his wealth, she said, "The half has not been told me." And you know, folks, when any individual stands up to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ, all that he has done on the cross for people like you and me, when all said and done, the half has never even been told. Such is the grace of God. The Bible tells us in 1 Kings 4 that he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Now, a proverb is a short, but it is a wise saying. And the proverb that we want to look at tonight is of the utmost importance. We need to hear it. More than that, folks, we need to heed it. We need to lay it to heart. It is so applicable to everyday life and so very much applicable in times of gospel mission. Hearing the good news of the gospel is a privilege beyond compare. But rejecting that message is folly and could result in being destroyed, and that without remedy. Listen to the words of the wisest man who ever lived. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Friend, if you are out of Christ tonight, do not harden your heart, but rather heed another proverb where this individual so blessed of God said, "Son, give me thine heart." Now, there's some vital lessons in the gospel that I want to leave with you from this proverb. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his heart or neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Now, first of all, I want you to notice the compassion of the Savior. It might be a verse at a glance that you might be asking, where in the world is there compassion in this text? But there is. And the Savior's compassion can never, ever be overemphasized. You see, it says, he that being reproved. No, not what the text says. He that being often. There you have the compassion of the Savior. That he often speaks to men and to women. That word often is very, very significant, very expressive of the Savior's compassion. It is not that God just once reproves the sinner, but he often, again and again and again, reproves men and women regarding their sin. He speaks to us, and he speaks again and again and again. He said to the church of the Laodiceans, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, I stand at the door and am knocking and knocking and knocking. And I am sure tonight, if you're here without Christ, it's not the first time you're hearing the gospel both sung to you and to preach to you. And God, in his compassion and mercy, has kept you to this moment that you might yet again hear the good news of the gospel. The Bible tells us through the lips of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 through the lips of the Apostle Paul, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church at Rome in chapter 10 and verse 21, said of Israel, all day long have I stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and a gainsaying people. Even regarding Jezebel, that wicked one, in Revelation 2 and 21, God says, I give her space to repent, but she repented not. So Proverbs 29 and verse 1, while it may seem to smack of doom and gloom, it is mingled with mercy because the text opens with words of compassion. He that being often reproved. Thinking there about the Savior's compassion, we need to consider how God reproves us. And that he does, I believe, by the word of God. My friend, you have in your hand tonight the most important treasure that you will ever possess. Because that word in your hand, as Paul said to Timothy, is able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of the written word we read in 1 John 5, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye might believe in the name of the Son of God. Therefore, he's saying, you can know. My friend, you can get up out of your seat tonight. You can walk down that aisle. You can get in your car. You can go home. You can get into your bed. You can sleep sound asleep without any fear. knowing that your sins are forgiven, you're reconciled to God. Heaven is your destiny. Hell will never be yours. You can know that beyond the shadow of all doubt. These things are written that you might know. Friend, do you know that you've been born again? We have the written and the preached word of God. Because when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching." Not by foolish preaching. It's foolish preaching that tells you mere church attendance, adherence to the sacraments, doing the best you can, that is foolish preaching. Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Of the preached word, we read in Titus 1 and 3 that God has manifested his word through preaching. And the Apostle Paul, again to the church at Corinth, said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God." Now, what you and I are doing tonight is foolishness to some people. Giving up your night, coming in here, singing hymns, saying prayers, reading the Bible, preaching the Bible, listening to someone sing the gospel, it is foolishness to them. But unto us who are saved, why, it's the power of God. God reproves us through his word, both the written word of God, which you have in your hand, through the preached word of God, which we have sought to do this week and is done every week in this pulpit. But we have a responsibility of not only hearing that, but heeding that. The writer to the Hebrews, which I believe was the Apostle Paul, says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, "Therefore, we ought to give the more diligent heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. For how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" God's word tells us about our sin. But better than that, it tells us about our Savior, the remedy for our sin, the panacea for our sin. The good news of the gospel, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So he reproves through his precious word. Not only does he reprove through his word, but he reproves through the witness of others. When you think of Noah in his day, an old man in excess of 500 years, building an ark, telling the people it's going to rain, which it had never rained in the history of the world before. There's going to be a flood. They need to get into the ark. How many heeded, though they heard? And when the floods came, only it were saved. My friend, how long will you go on in sin? How long will God forbear? Where does hope end and where begin the confines of despair? And there is always the witness of others, such as John the Baptist was to King Herod. So God has given to you and to me all down the course of our life, those who have been witnesses concerning our need of Jesus Christ. Herod, why, he was witnessed to by one of the greatest preachers in the world, John the Baptist. And the Bible tells me in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 20, for Herod feared John. He revered him. And it says he knew that John the Baptist was a just man and holy. And the Bible says he heard him and did many things and heard him gladly. And I think what the Bible is saying is this, that King Herod, after listening to the preaching of John the Baptist, made some attempt at reformation in his life. But the tragedy was he never embraced the Christ that John presented. There's people, on hearing the gospel, will try to make some reformation. They'll stop doing certain things, stop saying certain things, start doing certain things, and start saying certain things. But friend, reformation's not salvation. And Herod was to find that out. There was, of course, Pilate. Faithfully warned, because his wife said to him, as they were paying for the blood of Jesus and crying out for the authorities to crucify him, she said, have you nothing to do with that just man? That just man. Nothing to do with it. So God showed great compassion to all of these people in that they heard the preached word, in that there was the witness of others, and then there was the wounding of his conscience. You know, all of us are born with a conscience. And John the Baptist had witnessed to Herod. Herod had not heeded. And then, in his foolishness, because he was living in a sinful relationship with Herodias, she wanted to kill John the Baptist. And when her daughter danced before the monarch and he liked it, he said, ask whatever you will and I'll give it. She said, give me the head of John the Baptist. The Bible says the king was exceeding sorry. But he wouldn't reject her. And he sent an executioner, and they cut the head of John the Baptist. And the day he cut the head of John the Baptist, he silenced heaven to his soul, and he sent his soul outside the peal of redemption. There was now no way back. But he had been faithfully witnessed to. You see, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly. And you know, he suddenly was destroyed. When you read the story, he was literally eaten of worms. But oh, his conscience was on fire, because when Jesus appeared after the death of John, people were guessing who Jesus was and they didn't know. And when Herod heard of it, he said, it's John. Him I beheaded, he's risen from the dead. It was his conscience. Men and women, you have a conscience. A conscience that tells you and me that we are answerable to someone higher and holier than ourselves. That little sermonizer that God has stationed down in the deeper recesses of our soul. And hymn writer says, my conscience felt and owned its guilt and plunged me in despair. Listen to the voice of conscience. Listen to the witness of others. Listen to the word of God. Lest you harden your heart. Despise the compassion of the Almighty. Trample his blood under your feet. Crucify afresh the lovely Son of God. And you're destroyed without remedy. There's not only the compassion of the Savior, but then we have the characters in Scripture, those who hardened their necks and were suddenly destroyed. You see, under the preaching of God's word, decisions have to be made. And you know, folks, decisions in meetings are very important because here's what's involved. We give up our sin or we give up our hopes of heaven. It's as plain as that. People will either close in with God's offer of mercy or harden their neck. Maybe in the past you have been hardening your neck against the claims of Christ in your life. And we have many examples in the Bible of people who hardened their neck and were suddenly destroyed. Korah, Dathan, Belshazzar, many others. I'll draw your attention to two. First of all, the Pharaoh. When God sent Moses down into Egypt to break the Egyptian bondage and liberate his people and bring them out from the heel of tyranny. And the message was simple this, let my people go. And you know, he stands in the Bible just like Satan himself. That has held people captive, chained and mastered and fettered by sin and by sinful habits. And oh, the cry of the gospel is, let my people go. And Satan doesn't want to let you go. And, of course, Pharaoh wouldn't let the people go. In fact, listen to what he said. In response to the message, let my people go, in Exodus 5 and 2, he said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord. Neither will I let Israel go. Pharaoh hardened his neck. Yet God, who's a God of compassion, a God of mercy, gave Pharaoh opportunity again and again and again and again. You see, the 10 plagues of Egypt, while they were of judgment, they were also of mercy. A manifestation of the long-suffering of God. But he hardened his heart, and even when God brought them out, he still pursued after them, suddenly destroyed in the Red Sea. You see, the more a person is reproved of God and rejects God's grace, his heart grows harder and harder, and it comes to this point where God then hardens his heart. Read the story of the plagues. It says again and again at the end of each plague, and Pharaoh hardened his heart, and Pharaoh hardened his heart, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then we come to a point where it says, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. There's an awful tragedy when an individual comes to that place through willful rejection of God's mercy, that God hardens their heart. But then the Bible tells us, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And Pharaoh sowed the seeds of destruction and reaped a harvest. But there was not only the Pharaoh, there was the female in Genesis chapter 19 by the name of Lot's wife. Every opportunity to leave the city. Privileges enjoyed that no one else enjoyed. God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and the people were asleep. But she was being warned. Oh, there's people across the nations of the world tonight have yet to hear the good news of the gospel. And Ulster people were born with it, and many of them just trampled it under their feet. Not for me. No God in my life. They prefer their Barabbas. They prefer their sin. And she was warned when others were not warned. And when you read the story, the angels came and took her by the hand and led her out of the city. How compassionate, long-suffering, merciful is the God of the Bible. But she looked back. You see, she never left her sin in heart. She looked back, suddenly, destroyed without remedy. And her monument stands in the Bible. Speaking of the peril and penalty of delay, she chose the sinner's path, she paid the sinner's price, and so it will be with every individual. Hardens his heart against the gospel. Friend, have you been hardening your heart and neck against this gospel? Suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. My friend, if this is your last night upon earth and you do not know if it is or it isn't, I'm going to put this plain to you. Is it heaven or hell for you? Oh, the compassion of the Savior. And the characters in Scripture. And just one last thought, the calamity of the sinner destroyed. Without remedy. Those are sad words. Awful words of finality. Destroyed without remedy. Not one ray of light beyond the grave. For the soul that rejects God's mercy and offer of salvation. No hope for the soul who dies without Jesus Christ. There's no climbing out of the furnace of a lost eternity. No breaking of the bars of the eternal prison house of the lost. Destroyed. Without remedy. Little wonder Job says in Job 36, because there's wrath, beware. Lest he take thee away with his stroke, and then a great ransom cannot redeem thee. The rich man hardened his neck against the Savior, finished up saying, I am tormented in this flame. Voltaire, the atheist, a great enemy of the gospel and of the Christ of the gospel. But when it came to dying, he said, I'm abandoned by God and by man. He said to his doctor, I will give you half of all that I am worth if you just give me 6 months to live. The doctor said, it's not in my power to do it. Voltaire said, then I shall die and go to hell. And the nurse who cared for him said, for all the money in Europe, I never want to see the death again of an unbeliever. Lord Byron, a man likewise on his deathbed, was caused to cry out, my days are in the yellow leaf. The flowers and the fruits of life are gone. The worm, the canker, and the grief, they're mine and mine alone. Destroyed without remedy. It didn't have to be. Friend, you don't have to lose your soul. God has spoken again and again. He's a God of compassion, a God of mercy. And tonight, if you come to him, you can be saved and safe for eternity. He says, him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. He says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So friend, you can call. And you can come, and you'll be accepted. But to harden your neck, you could suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Let me urge you to come to Christ, to come with haste, to come tonight, and come now, for we know not what shall be on the morrow. Friend, come. Come tonight. Amen.
We're just going to turn, please, in closing in our hymn book to hymn number 251, 251 on the page 277 of your hymn book. I want to thank the Lord's servant tonight for coming and faithfully preaching God's word. If you're not saved tonight, that you'd heed the word of warning. And you'd seek the Lord and call upon him while he is near. 251, why do you wait, dear brother? Why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in a sanctified throng. We'll sing verse 1 and 3 along with the chorus. Verses 1 and 3 only, along with the chorus, we'll stand as we sing. Stand as we sing.
Oh,
Our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence with us tonight. We thank thee for the faithful proclamation of the word of God. Bless thy word, bless thy truth to every heart. And O God, for any in our gathering tonight not saved, O Lord, we pray that they would not, as it were, turn away their ear from the gospel, but oh, that tonight they would come to Christ, that they would trust him, know the joy of sins forgiven, know what it is to be sure and to be ready for heaven one day. Answer prayer to this end. Give believing faith and deciding grace, we ask of thee. Take us to our homes in safety. Speak on, we beseech of thee. Return us again in thy will tomorrow night, we ask. For Jesus' sake, we pray all these things. Amen.